Welcome to the Awaken Therapist podcast, where we explore a holistic and transpersonal approach to psychotherapy. In season four, you'll hear live therapy demos, case consultations, and dynamic teachings designed to awaken transformation in yourself, your clients, and the world. I'm your host, Harmony Quiker. As a psychotherapist, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, I created this podcast to empower you to deepen your presence, expand your awareness, and trust the sacred unfolding that happens in authentic therapeutic contact. To learn more about our trainings, community, and resources, check us out at awakentherapist.com. If you're a therapist who's interested in expanding the potential of your therapeutic container, or if you're a client who's interested in learning about therapies that are beyond talk therapy, I'm so glad you're here. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about just that, the difference between transpersonal counseling and traditional talk therapy, the therapy that we think of when we think of going to therapy. And I'm also going to be talking a little bit more about the demo sessions that I've been doing this season. And so, yeah, let's dive in. There are so many ways that transpersonal counseling differs from traditional talk therapy, or just even the traditional therapeutic container that we think of when we think about going to therapy. One of the ways that transpersonal counseling really differs is that we are accessing non-ordinary states of consciousness within the therapeutic container. And what that means is that all human beings, the majority of us here on this planet, walk around identified with our ordinary awareness, our thought-based reality that lives in our mind. We listen to our thoughts and believe that they're true. We follow the impulses of our personality as if that is who we are. I call this the hyper-identified self. And when we arrive at a transpersonal therapy session, we are essentially shifting states of consciousness from that hyper-identified state of ordinary awareness to a different level of awareness, and that could be through direct experience of the here and now, which I call subtle awareness, where we become very attuned to the subtle sensations in our body, or direct experience with our thoughts rather than being in the hyper-identification of our mind. Or this might be awake awareness, which is the welcoming and infinite quality of our witness mind. It's this aspect of us that is formless, it's expansive, and it has the ability to welcome all aspects of us. And it really is the catalyst to our transformation, awake awareness. And so in transpersonal counseling, this difference that is felt and witnessed and seen and experienced is really this expansive quality of shifting states of consciousness, shifting levels of awareness. And in this work, it is not our client's job to be anything other than they are, meaning a client does not need to have any experience with meditation or breath work or any transpersonal practices. The clinician, though, is practiced in both holding space from non-ordinary states of consciousness, meaning we're not in our mind interpreting or analyzing or trying to fix our clients. And our presence and our interventions supports our clients in shifting states of consciousness by creating openings for awareness to enter into the client's system, whether that's through embodied awareness or awareness being brought to the mind, as well as awareness filling up the container. So instead of trying to solve or figure out or even use a modality, what we're wanting to do is bring awareness to everything that is present in the here and now. And it really is a relational meditation where we come into presence with what is, And at any moment, when we realize that we've fallen asleep to our most awake resource self, awake awareness, we shift again. And this is very similar to an individual meditation, where in individual meditation, we sit in our own contemplative practice. And when we notice our mind is thinking, we shift either by bringing awareness to our breath, our body, or the space around the thoughts. And in this practice, it's very similar, but in more of a relational way, where a client comes in and tells us about themselves or about what happened in their lives, and we listen, and we gain a lot of understanding about our clients by listening to their meaning making, listening to the stories of their life, and especially how they relate to those stories. And as we're listening to our clients, we stay really present. We reflect what we're hearing, we attune to their present moment expression, and we create openings for their awareness to come into this embodied place where they're shifting from believing that their thoughts are the truth of who they are to being the witness of those thoughts. And this is where a client accesses their innate wisdom. And it is that innate wisdom that guides their process. And so our job as a clinician is to not interrupt that, which is actually really hard. And that's why I'm doing these demo sessions to demonstrate really how little I do. And I say little because you see that I'm not efforting to try to change my client in any way or to really try to figure them out. I'm not interrupting the process of the client shifting awareness and accessing their own innate wisdom as the guide to their healing. I am a clear mirror of reflection, and I'm creating the container. I essentially am the container. And I'm teaching my client through my interventions how to be that container for themselves, how to be a safe space for themselves. And one part of this is learning self-attunement. And so that's in part what I'm teaching my clients, how to attune to their own emotional state. Another part of this, though, is having empathy and compassion for that state that they're in. And the beauty here is that the mind itself, ordinary awareness, the personality, thought-based reality, that hyper-identified self, is not the aspect of the client that is going to bring compassion and love to themselves. The mind is what creates the suffering. The mind is what creates the distress patterns. It's trying to resolve unfinished business from the past. But awake awareness is the quality that can bring love, that can bring compassion to all aspects of the client. And so cultivating that deep self-compassion that is really necessary for this work to unfold comes from awake awareness. So by inviting our clients to shift states of consciousness from ordinary awareness to awake awareness, they now have more access to bringing that loving, welcoming, compassionate energy to their own humanity. So even if a client is looping in a thought, like in episode 3 of season 4, which is the second demo session that I had with this client, there's this moment where I invite him to bring an awareness to his experience of wanting resolution to his chronic pain. And I create an opening for awake awareness by inviting him to validate that desire, to say to himself, "It makes sense to me that you want resolution." So he's offering that to himself from a different state of consciousness, because it's his mind that wants resolution, but it's his awake awareness that can validate that witness mind, that higher consciousness. And this is really everything in transpersonal counseling. And so all of these interventions that I do, and basically the first 20 minutes of a session, is supporting my client in shifting states of consciousness, creating openings for awareness, specifically awake awareness, to come into the field, to enter the body, to surround the mind, to create enough space around the patterns so that innate wisdom can find the way through those patterns. And if you've already listened to session two, then you heard early on in that session how my client smiled with this invitation and he said, "You're really good at this." And I took that to mean I'm really good at reminding him how to be loving and compassionate with himself without fighting the narrative or engaging in aboutism, that I'm creating openings for him to be compassionate and loving with himself. And from that place of being compassionate and loving, what ends up happening is the nervous system begins to regulate naturally, find its way back to a regulated state of balance and well-being without force. Because once a client stops resisting their current experience and is able to welcome it, and this is called the paradoxical theory of change in Gestalt therapy, they're offering themselves the conditions of safety that the nervous system needs to find a state of regulation. And it's really important to remember that regulation is not about making any experience go away. It's about learning how to stay connected to oneself in the midst of dysregulation. I often hear people say, "I'm trying to regulate, but it's not working." And really, what that's telling me is that they're trying to make their experience go away, but it's still here. So it's not working. It hasn't vanished. I haven't suppressed it or controlled it enough. And so instead, if we think about regulation as that ability to stay connected to ourselves in the midst of dysregulation, it requires our self-attunement, so to know how we feel emotionally, and responsivity, the ability to respond to our own experience. And in here, it also implies that we are validating our experience, that we're recognizing that our experience is valid and we don't need to reject it in any way. We can welcome our experience. And so self-attunement, self-validation, and responsivity, meaning is there anything this experience needs from me right now, is really how we stay connected to ourselves in moments of dysregulation. And that's what I'm teaching my clients through these interventions. I'm teaching them how to attune to themselves, validate their emotional experience, and respond. Is there anything this experience needs from you right now? And it could be a thought, it could be a sensation. It can be an emotion. And this becomes the foundation of all of the deeper work that we do in our time together. Once a client is able to stay connected to themselves through the layers of their inner experience, then there's enough ground to be able to do the deeper work. And this is where Gestalt experiments come in. So I often begin by working with the inner young one because it really reinforces and supports that internal connection where a client is a secure base for themselves and they can connect with themselves even more deeply by reparenting that inner young one, by giving themselves the thing that they always needed. And this is where deep, deep repair happens because when a client is already in a altered state of consciousness, meaning they're not an ordinary awareness, they're an awake awareness, they can work with the consciousness that's being held in that inner young one that's sort of frozen in time and reparent that aspect of themselves in service of resolving unfinished business from the past. And the more updated a client is, the more able they are to be really present in the here and now. And from this place, I might do a two-chair experiment or work with their ancestors or work more explicitly with the body. There's infinite amount of experiments that we can do in Gestalt therapy, but that co-regulation in the beginning makes all of that possible. And so this is where we can really see how different transpersonal counseling is from traditional talk therapy. If I didn't spend all of that time co-regulating with my client and supporting that shifting levels of awareness, but I still tried to do an experiment with them, they would be doing that experiment from their mind, from their thought-based reality. And this is where I really like to remind my students that we cannot heal our suffering from the same level of thinking that creates it. This is so important. We cannot heal our suffering from the same level of consciousness that creates it. So the parts work that really is integral to Gestalt therapy or the other experiments that we do, we really can't do them effectively if the client is still hyper-identified with their mind. And so it really requires this slowing down and creating the conditions of safety for the client to be able to really have this deep embodied awareness for that deep integration to happen through the experiments. And so, even though this approach isn't common, it's not well known out there in the field of therapy, it's not represented on TV when we see a TV therapist, it is evidence-based. And I think that's really important to note here because it's common for people to think that this is woo-woo or out there or ungrounded in real theory or scientific research. And that's not true. Gestalt therapy in particular is evidence-based, which really means that it has been studied through empirical research and shown to produce outcomes that are statistically significant. So results that are unlikely to be due to chance and that demonstrate measurable improvement in client functioning. I think there's often a misconception that evidence-based therapy means that it has to be more structured and less holistic. And because this approach is so alive and relational and deeply impactful, it doesn't mean that it has sacrificed scientific rigor. Some of the most meaningful and transformative therapy happens not through linear techniques, but through presence, contact, awareness, and the intelligence of the human system when it's truly met. When I was a new therapist, I didn't know this. I didn't know Gestalt was evidence-based. I didn't know that such a holistic and transpersonal approach to counseling was actually welcomed in the field of psychotherapy. And so I felt like I didn't fit into the field. And I hear this often from my students. So many transpersonal counselors feel like they don't fit into the field of psychotherapy. And this is because we're part of a paradigm shift. The medical model and pathologizing mental illness and approaching psychotherapy as if we are trying to fix pathology is really an antiquated system of psychotherapy. And there's this huge wave of therapists now who are really passionate about holistic modalities and therapy theories. And this is so exciting to me. When I was new, I thought I needed to try to fit into a system that I didn't resonate with, and honestly, a system that is quite broken. And I'm so grateful that I didn't, because I don't think that fitting into a broken system actually serves our clients. And that's what this is really about. How can we create sacred containers for human beings to come and repair and heal and transform and remember who they really are, who they were before the trauma, before the world told them who to be? And that's what this work is about. And this is one of the reasons why I wrote The Awakened Therapist and started this podcast, because I really think it's important to recognize and acknowledge and honor that spiritual and holistic and transpersonal approaches to psychotherapy not only fit within the standard that we are held to in this field as psychotherapists, but expand beyond it as well, simultaneously, in really undeniably beautiful and magical ways. And again, because Gestalt therapy and transpersonal counseling doesn't really lend itself to a manualized technique-driven design, it doesn't mean that it's not evidence-based. It really just means that it requires us, the clinician, to learn how to hold space in this very nuanced, present moment, energetically coherent way, where we create the container for the client to find their way back home to themselves. And in this approach, especially the way that I teach it, the client's sovereign will, their autonomous self, their true nature, the spark of their life is what's going to make that happen. Their will is what's going to allow this transformation to happen. When they want it and they're given the conditions to allow that to happen, that's what actually creates this reorganization of the system for them to feel more congruent with who they truly are. It's not me as the therapist. I don't create that. I just create the space that allows that to happen. And this is, again, why my not interrupting that process is so essential. Positioning the container where the client's sovereignty is the guide, where their innate wisdom, their awake awareness is what finds their way through that patterns and reorganizes back to their inherent health. It requires that I don't interrupt that process. And this is what I call the sacred boundary, where I'm meeting the client at the sacred boundary and I'm staying in my own source of energy and I'm creating openings for them to access their own source of energy. So when the client uses their own awareness to process their own emotions and process their energy, I don't get burned out because I'm not crossing over that sacred boundary. I'm staying seated within myself. And this is really important because after 20 years of doing this, I can honestly say I'm never burned out after seeing a client because I'm not trying to fix them or get them to be anything other than they are. I'm really wanting to create the container for them to be exactly who they are and find their way back into the depth of that, where they can really sit in the truth of who they are. The word transpersonal literally translates to beyond personal identity. So as you're listening to these demo sessions, I hope you can hear that my personal identity isn't interrupting the client's process. I'm not inserting my own ideas of how he should be. I'm not teaching him how I think he could be with himself. The teaching really comes from my interventions and from my reflections and from my authentic engagement. Each time a demo is released, I've been sharing the full demo session for free on Patreon for 1 week. It's important to note that demo sessions are not therapy. And what I mean by that is the therapeutic relationship and the therapeutic surrender that happens in a therapeutic relationship is very different than in a demo. The privacy of the container, the depth that we touch, the variety of experiments that might unfold are very different than from a demo session. What a demo really is it's demonstrating a set of skills being used with a volunteer. So I think that's just important to remember as you're listening to these, that these are educational offerings. They're not actually therapy. So I hope you find these demos valuable. And if you want to hear the full demos, come join us over on Patreon. Each week when a new one is released, you'll be able to hear the full session over there. And if you are a therapist, I want to thank you for being so devoted to the work and the spaces that you cultivate and offer your clients. It truly is so meaningful for the healing of the planet when one person is offered a sacred container to be fully seen and welcomed as they are, and given the opportunity to explore how to move through those internal conditioned patterns to find their way back home to themselves, a miracle happens. I mean, it really is a miracle each time healing occurs internally. And now, more than ever, the world really needs you. And so, genuinely, from the depth of my heart, thank you. Thank you for doing this work. Thank you for being here and listening to this podcast episode. And thank you for showing up every single day for humanity. Thank you. If you found this episode meaningful and want to deepen into the practices of transpersonal counseling, check out our trainings at awakentherapist.com. We have live, online, and go-at-your-own-pace offerings that are designed to empower you to unlock the magic of psychotherapy. Thank you for continuing to learn the art of creating a truly sacred healing space for your clients.